Remain standing. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to read verses 5 through 10 together. When I'm done praying, we'll have a special, and then I'll come back and preach. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 5. You join me on verse 6. We'll alternate through the passage that way. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Oh, it's just past middle in your Bible. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you now. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help me today. Lord, I'm no different than any other human in this room. I'm a sinner. I've been saved by your wonderful grace and by the word of God. I mean, you've called me to a higher calling, but I am no different than they. I pray that you just bless the preaching of your word today in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to help you today, and I realize there's a little extra noise. There's extra children here because of the big day and that kind of thing. Do me a favor. We're big people. All right? You've watched children before. You've watched them go to the bathroom and walk through an auditorium. Do me a favor. If they do, look this way. Don't go. All right? When you do that, I lose everybody's attention. All right? So you just stay focused on me. If you see movement, just stay focused here because you're going to see them come back and forth a little bit, but they're going to be discreet about it the best they can. And so I'm getting ready to preach, and I need you to hear what's going on this morning. And, we don't realize how important preaching is till we see where our country is today. I'm going to make a statement that may surprise some of you. Yes, we're all disappointed in Washington, D.C. We're disappointed in the morality of our country, but I hate to tell you, it's not politicians. It's pussyfooting, backsliding preachers that have been afraid to tell the truth all these years. If the church house had been hot, America may have stayed moral a little longer. So hang in there. The best is yet to come. Here in Jeremiah 17, God is warning the part of Israel called Judah. There, at this point in time, Israel had been divided. You had Israel in the northern kingdom, and you had Judah in the southern kingdom. That happened after David and Solomon, because of Solomon's sons, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the kingdom was divided. But Judah and Israel, virtually the same country, there were just two divisions of it. And kind of like we were in the time of Civil War, where we had the north and the south, that's what happened in Israel, but it stayed that way much longer than it did here in America. God is warning all of Israel and said, look, and he had been warning them for 490 years. That's a long time. They had missed every Sabbath year for almost 500 years. And God kept warning them and said, look, I'll give you a chance to fix this, but if you don't fix it, I'll get my Sabbaths and I'm going to take them all at one time and I'm going to send you into slavery for 70 years. Jeremiah was a man of God, and he was getting up and said, look, either you change your ways, get back to doing what God said do, or we're going into slavery. Matter of fact, God said here that he was going to make them go to a heathen land watch this, and that they would be in total bondage for 70 years. Not only that, when they would leave their own country, they were going to destroy Israel, and once they got out of bondage, they'd have to go back and rebuild everything that God had already given them. Well, they still were refusing to obey God. I kind of know how Jeremiah felt. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus is coming back, an event called the rapture. We're trying to get every person saved to know for sure they're going to heaven, because when Jesus comes back, that's it. That's it. And I saw this recently, and I've said it before. I began to think about it the other day. I saw a bumper sticker that said, Jesus is coming back, and boy, is he mad. Can I tell you something? I don't think that's true. I think Jesus is coming back, and boy, is he happy. He's getting ready to take his children home. He's about to be gathered to his bride. By the way, the church is not the bride yet. When we all get together in heaven, we'll become his bride. I don't know about you, but 26 years, 11 months, and 9 days ago, my wife and I celebrated our wedding. Can I tell you something? I wasn't dreading and I wasn't mad when I got there. Well, I was, because I got a speeding ticket going to my wedding, but that wasn't the issue. By the way, the last one I ever got, just so you know. But God knew that these Jews needed punished because they had been disobeying him. God even knew that his own name was going to be tarnished because of this, but that they needed it for them to get themselves right. God warns them time and time again, almost 500 years. That's twice as long plus as America has been a nation. That's a long time. God's been warning them using preachers and using his word and telling them, look, change, change, change. Get back to obeying me. Get back to obeying me. But they would not change. Matter of fact, earlier in the chapter, it says that their sinful ways had been written about. Did you know they had news media back then too? I feel sorry for those of you that watch the news hour after hour after hour every day. Now, I can stomach about a half hour of the news on a good night. You say, why? Man, that's enough to depress anybody. That's enough. No wonder. By the way, whatever happened to reporting good news? You won't find one good thing in a 30-minute news program. If it's an hour-long news program, you might get one good thing. And that's not the weather. Usually it's good night. That's probably the best thing in the news. Can I tell you something? Their bad ways were being written about and sent everywhere. Now, God was here in Jeremiah 17 still pleading for them to change. He was giving them every possible chance, listen to this, to change before he punished them. He tells them there will be a curse placed on those who follow man's ways. And he said there'll be a blessing to those who obey. Wow. He said all you have to do is obey and I can bless you. But if not and you follow man's way, you'll be cursed. By the way, did you know God doesn't force his way on anybody? You know, God does not force you to love him. God does not force you to obey him. God did not come down to Rich Stoltz one day when he was in his early 20s, believe it or not, had long hair. Now he doesn't have any hair. Drugs, alcohol, rock and roll, long hair, wild man. One day God came and spoke to Rich Stoltz through the man of God, the word of God. And Rich got saved, but God didn't come down and say, Rich, don't you dirty, filthy, wicked, good for nothing, scum of the earth sinner, get down and get saved. I did not throw him. He did that on purpose, just so you know. All right, thank you. I get letters. You're hurting, Brother Stoltz. No, I did not, all right? Now, wait a minute. God doesn't force his way. Do you know God has never one time come to you and said you had to do something? By the way, godly leadership doesn't do it that way either. Amen. This preacher's often, if I've asked you to do something, one of the first things you're going to hear me say is, no's not a bad answer. It'll be okay. I'm not going to force you to do anything. Say why? Because that's not the way God leads. God leads gently. God leads tenderly. But I will tell you this. God's been placing curses on people who disobey for a long time. He did it all the way back in the Garden of Eden. God cursed the devil, God cursed the ground, and God cursed man and woman. Say, what did he curse the woman with? That's her instability, the up and down of emotions and things. What did he curse man with? Ugliness. He said, by the sweat of your brow. There was no sweat before. Lord have mercy, I'm going to choke Adam when I get to heaven and punch him right square in the nose. He cursed the ground with weeds and death. Can I tell you something? That's the other thing I'm going to punch Adam for. I got to weed my garden after the rain stops, amen? I think the weeds are higher than everything else, but we're going to get there. Now, wait a minute. God's been consistent throughout history with curses to those that disobey and blessings to those who obey. Now, our country and our world are soon facing the judgment of God. Now, don't get all spooky on me here, all right? Jesus is coming back to get all the saved people. It's an event called the rapture. Now, you won't see that word in the Bible. It means a snatching away, a pulling away, a calling away. He'll come back above the earth. Trumpet will sound. Then the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Let me put that in West Virginia redneck bush language. We're going to blow this popsicle stand. Amen. We're getting out of here. Now, wait a minute. can I tell you something? I read the last chapter. We win. I read the last chapter. There will be victory over the devil and we win. Brother Fugit said it Friday night. I love what he said. He said, you know, when you already know you won the ball game, when you go to the plate, you swing for the fence. Amen. Well, it's time for us to start swinging for the fence, not playing defensively. Let's just start hitting everything we can hit. Now, wait a minute. After the rapture takes place, there's still a lot of people left on the earth. And a man will set himself up. He's called the Antichrist. He will be Satan incarnate. The devil will actually incarnate, embody a human being and will run the world peacefully for 3.5 years. He'll bring everybody under one currency, one political structure. He'll bring all of the world together and gather everybody around him. And he'll bring peace to the world for about 3.5 years, and he'll blame the Christians for it, just so you know. By the way, President Obama is not the Antichrist. He may be the forerunner, but he is not the Antichrist. He's helping us get closer to him, that's for sure. But after that 42 months, that 3.5 years, the Bible says, then all of God's fury will be poured out upon the earth. 21 judgments in the next 42 months take place that will be just unbelievable. You don't want to be here during them. You don't want to be a part of it. But listen to this. At the end of those 3.5 years, actually 7 total, there's an event that will take place called the Battle of Armageddon. Megiddo, Armageddon, is a valley in its north and west of Jerusalem. It's a giant valley in a place called Megiddo. I've done a lot of research. It's interesting. There are 4 major routes that lead through Megiddo. It's like a crossroads for all of the world right there. And the Bible says that China, Japan, and Iran, and Iraq, and Jordan, and Turkey, Russia, and Egypt, and Saudi Arabia will all gather right there in Megiddo, in Armageddon. They will mount an assault, and Jesus and us are coming back with him riding on white horses. The Bible says that Jesus will stand in the Mount of Olives, which is in Jerusalem. Hello. And he's going to put down all of those armies. The Bible says that the blood will rise to the bridle of a horse in the valley. Now, folks, bridle of most horses is about 5.5 feet deep. Can you imagine blood being that deep in an entire valley? The death and the carnage will be unbelievable. Now, listen to me. After that, Jesus cleans this mess up and we come back and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And the Lord will restore the earth as it was in the time of Eden. Amen. Now, I love this. We're fast approaching the rapture. Yes, sir. Brother Gus said something in Sunday school this morning. Good night. Our country has changed so much in the last 15 years, it's scary. Amen. It's scary. The president ordered this week that all public schools who receive public funding from the United States federal government must change their bathroom policy and let students use whatever bathroom they want or they'll lose their federal funding. By the way, not just the bathroom, the locker rooms. That means you're going to have boys and girls showering together. That's filth. That's vile. That's wrong. I don't care whose name's attached to it. Everybody doing all right? It's not just the president, just so you know. Who would have ever thought a communist named Bernie Sanders would have a snowball's chance in Hades at becoming president of the United States? But he's getting pretty close. And then one step below that's Hillary. A filthy, lying murderer. And by the way, I'm not even talking Benghazi. Go back to Whitewater. Anybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Now, wait a minute. America's fat. By the way, I'll get to that in a minute. Our world's a mess. Yes, sir. The violence, the drugs, the drunkenness, the immorality, the sodomy, the protesting in the streets because we don't get what we want, and we're only concerned about what we get. Man has seemingly chosen a curse and rebels at the blessing of God. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it, folks. Any religion that says, if you disagree with us, we kill you, is not a peaceful religion. Just because somebody doesn't agree with the gospel doesn't mean we're supposed to go kill them. Everybody doing all right? And if it's written in the Quran, by the way, it is. It's not a peaceful religion. Don't let the liars tell you otherwise. Now, wait a minute. God says, you stand, America. You stand, Grace Baptist Church. You stand, American citizen, look at me. You stand to make a decision. Are you going to trust man or are you going to trust God? You stand at a precipice today about to jump off which way. By the way, it's not a matter of you don't choose. You have to choose one or the other. Now, where is your trust? And where your trust is will determine where you get in this life and the next. Number one, the curse comes when man trusts himself. Everybody look at me. Human beings make a pretty lousy God. You leave man to his own ways, and look where we're ending up. Folks, did you know until the 1850s, there was no such thing as evolution? It was thought up by a man who hated God and wanted to change the world by going contrary to the word of God. The communists then began picking it up because it help propel the anti-God philosophy and the pro-government philosophy. Everybody doing all right? To believe that man came from a single-celled organism that they don't know where it came from, after a big explosion and all the universe came into being from a big bang, and after millions and millions and millions of years, this single-celled thing got tired of being by itself and decided to split itself and become two. It got so happy with being two that both of them decided to split and have four. And they kept splitting and splitting and splitting, and all of a sudden there's millions and billions of these single-celled organisms. And they decided they would be political and come together and form one. And that one thing began to swim, and it got tired of being alone, so it decided to split. How it happened, we don't know. But it just took millions and millions and millions of years. It began to swim. It got tired, and by the way, they had millions and millions and billions of babies, and it got tired of swimming. It decided to poke its head above the water, and it decided it couldn't breathe, so it had to grow lungs. So after millions more years, it grew lungs. It got tired of swimming and breathing air, so it decided to want to see what's on that dirt, tried to crawl out, but had no legs. So after millions of more years, legs began to grow. They got tired of crawling on four legs, decided it wanted to stand up, and after another couple million years, its tail fell off, stood up, and then it decided it wanted to climb a tree, and now it teaches in the university. That's man left to himself. That's man's religion. By the way, evolution is a religion. It is an anti-God religion. Now listen to me very carefully here. The answer is not in the White House. I don't care who we put there. The answer is not in the White House. The answer is not political. Everybody look this way. The answer to America's problems is not a political answer. I believe in voting. I believe we ought to do the best we can. But may I say this, there's not much to choose from. We're almost to the point that Mickey Mouse for president should be a good slogan. Did you know that man's ways means everybody should be the same? Everybody should make the same money. Everybody should get paid the same, because we wouldn't want to offend anyone. Can I tell you something? That's stupid. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's the one that began this in the 1930s during the Depression. Listen to this statement. He said, "There's no true equality till there is economic equality," and that is a lie. The Constitution does not provide for economic equality. It does provide for equal treatment for all of the rights of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all of the amendments that go therein. It doesn't mean everybody makes the same amount of money. And by the way, you don't work, you don't eat. Period. I believe in hard work. 45% of all Americans polled believed communism is a better form of government than capitalism. Sixty percent of all Democrats registered say that communism is better than capitalism. America's in trouble. By the way, trusting your physical body is a pretty bad thing to trust. You young people, listen to me. You've got aspirations of professional sports. Can I tell you something? It lasts so short, it's not even funny. I can't tell you how short it lasts. And by the way, if you're waiting till your teen years and you've not been in competition at that level already, you're not going to make it. I'll just warn you. Say, "Well, I have a lot of talent." You don't have that much. I've been around professional athletes. Now listen to me. They're groomed from the age of about 3 or 4 on. Not just playing in the backyard either. They're trained for it. Now, listen to me very carefully here. But I don't care who you are. Magic Johnson still dying of AIDS. If you make it to your middle 30s, maybe 40, you're considered an old man in professional sports. That means I'm past the hill, amen? Because 50 is fast approaching next year. Hollywood. Good night. You got all these Jezebels that paint their faces and take their clothes off to allure everybody, and they think they're hot snot on a silver platter and there's nothing but a cool booger on a paper plate. All that beauty in time will sag. I don't care how many plastic surgeries they have, stretches and pulls and paint and rope and tarps and everything else. Amen. I can't wait till some of these tattoo people get to be about 70. And all those tattoos start sagging and dragging, amen? Let me show you my tattoo. They pull their shirt up and I got to pull the flaps of skin back so you can see what it is, amen? Folks, we're crazy. We're letting our young people get themselves plastered with piercings and pulling their earlobes open to where you could drive a truck through it. When they get to be about 60, their earlobe's going to hang on their shoulder and dangle there in two pieces. Be softball practice, throwing a ball through it. Stand there, Grandma. See if I can get it through your earlobe. Good night. We are so enraged by our bodies. Can I tell you something? It's dying. Just like everybody else's. Well, mine looks better than yours. So, most everybody's does. Now, wait a minute. Look at everything we do to be healthy. And we let the government tell us what's healthy. Isn't it amazing? Wait 2 years and what was healthy is now harmful to your health. And what used to be harmful to your health, well, it wasn't as bad as we thought it was. Everybody's worried about Zika. The mosquitoes. Did you know that back in the 1970s, America got rid of the answer to Zika? It's called DDT. It wiped out malaria, Zika, and every other disease like that all over the world. But we were worried about Spotty the owl eating a bug that ate DDT, and it might hurt the bird. So now we put up with all the diseases. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. Let's go green. We can't use plastic bags. They don't decompose. Don't use plastic bottles. We can't. Can I tell you something? All those things came out of the ground. All the materials necessary for all of that, we got out of the ground to begin with. Why are we worried about it? Everybody doing okay? We trust in education. That would get you real far, won't it? America's education system is lousy. America's education system, and listen to me, I do speak with authority. I've been involved in Christian education for the last 25 years of my life or more. And let me say it very matter-of-factly. Back in the 1930s, FDR began rewriting and having the curriculums of America's education rewritten. We have been rewriting and rewriting and rewriting and rewriting to where now history has been totally changed. You say, why? Because we have to train generation after generation what wasn't so that we can go back and conquer people from what we came out of. I'm going to make a statement here. The greatest generation, supposedly, is our World War II generation. By the way, thank God for their contribution. But do you know who the Vietnam generation was? Their children. 17, 18, 19-year-olds volunteered to go fight the Germans, the Nazis, go fight the communists. Listen to this. Came back to America, started having children, and we began bringing the communists and the Nazis to our public universities and started teaching them so that in the 1960s, the children of the World War II vets were being taught by the very people that they tried to kill. We started training them, and in the 1960s, and I don't mean this in a crude way, but you had the volunteers of the World War II generation rearing the hell no, we won't go generation. Say, where did it all take place? In our public universities and schools. Say a curse. Yeah. The Bible says that he'll be a heath in the desert. That's not a candy bar. The word heath means totally desolate. Have you ever seen pictures of the Sahara Desert? There's not a cactus. There's not a tumbleweed. It's just sand. I've been out in the White Sands Desert of New Mexico. I've been in one end of Death Valley in California. You talk about desolate. Bible says that when we start trusting in man, we start getting desolate. The Bible says you won't be able to see good when it comes. Folks, please listen to this statement. It's not good that we're going to open up our bathrooms to whoever wants to walk in. They say, well, you just might offend somebody. Listen to this statement. 0.03% of the American population is what they call LGBT. Less than 0.03%, we're going to change all government facilities and schools in America, over 0.03% of our population. Those aren't my numbers. That's the United States government's numbers. That's wrong. I'll promise you one thing. If my wife and my daughter are in the restroom and a male walks in, he's going to have to walk in through me. Hey, well, what are you going to do? Ask me after it happens. What's he going to do? Hit me with his purse? Yeah, I hate saying it, but while we were traveling, every time we stop along the way, I'm thinking, you know, you go to the washroom thinking, I wonder if some woman's going to come walking in here. What a terrible thought. So you shouldn't think that way. Well, America's getting to be that way. Bible says that they'll live in parched, uninhabited areas. Our world is starving for profit. Starving. We are almost $20 trillion in debt in America alone. Current administration has taken us $12 trillion in debt. In 7 years, the current administration has spent more in debt than the other 44 presidents combined before him. Our national debt has more than doubled. Just have a seat back here, please. Don't walk all the way through. Now look at me, if you will. There is a blessing that comes to those who trust in the Lord. There's a blessing to those who trust in the Lord. First of all, you say, what is that? Get saved. I tell you something, we're all sinners and we all deserve hell because we're all sinners. We have all disobeyed God. You say, well, I never killed anybody, but you still disobeyed God. And can I tell you something? Because we're all sinners, we all deserve a place called hell. You say, I don't see how a loving God could send anybody to hell. He doesn't. You choose it. Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his followers, his angels. God created hell for the devil and the angels that followed him when they were cast out of heaven in Isaiah chapter 14. That's before he made the world. Watch this. When man listened to the devil in the Garden of Eden, man committed the same sin that the devil committed. God's justice requires the same punishment on the same sin. And when man chooses to sin, he chooses the same punishment that the devil chose. I want you to notice something. Jesus did not come and pay the sin debt for the devil. He did come and pay your sin debt. God loved you so much, he gave us Jesus Christ to pay our sin debt for us. You can't go to heaven by getting baptized. You can't go to heaven by joining a church. You can't go to heaven by kneeling in an altar and lighting a candle and counting beads and doing this or whatever they do, saying Hail Mary or Hail whoever. You can't pray through St. Christopher or St. Michael or St. John or St. Pete. You only get there by the blood of Jesus Christ. You get to the point where you realize you're a sinner, you deserve hell, and that Jesus came and paid that price, and you receive that as payment for your sin. Hot dog, the Bible says you're born again. The moment you do that, I did that 45 years ago. Can I tell you something? I've been on my way to heaven ever since. I was just a little boy, 4 or 5 years old, trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Can I tell you something? I'm just as saved now as I was then. Say, well, how could you have known? I went to church for 9 months before I was born. I heard the gospel every day, every week for years and years and years and years. And I grew up in church. I heard it. Maybe it's the first time you're hearing it, but may I say this? God loved you so much that he gave Jesus Christ for you. He lived your righteousness that you could not live because you're a sinner. He lived sinless. He had God's blood, not man's blood. He put on a body that could die, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. See, Jesus couldn't die in his heavenly body. He had to be robed in flesh like you and me. Guess what? The grave couldn't hold him because 3 days and three nights later, he got up out of the grave, conquered death, put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven for you so that you don't have to die and go to hell someday. Say, preacher, you're preaching awful hard. For this generation, that's hard, but I got to tell you the truth. I love people enough to tell them the truth. I love people so much, I don't want anybody dying and going to hell and burning for eternity. By the way, the last time you take a breath here, if you're not saved, there's no hope of getting out. None. You have to make that decision here and now. Can I tell you something? Hell is the curse for those who reject the gospel. Heaven is the benefit of trusting Jesus as your Savior. The blessing. Heaven is a real place. Next, the Bible. Can I tell you something? You can trust the old King James Bible. Those words will change your life, I promise you. Ask any person in this room that's been in church any time at all, has gotten saved, the Word of God will change your life. You don't change before you get it. Once you get saved, the Holy Spirit starts working through that book, through the preaching of that book, and God starts changing your life a little bit at a time. Man. Say, what makes a guy like that be what he is from what he was? Called the Word of God. What makes a man like that, or like that, or like that, or like that, who've come from backgrounds that are a little tough? Can I tell you something? The Word of God. And by the way, say, well, there's so many different Bibles out there. No, there's King James Bible. That's all you need. Take an old-fashioned Baptist preacher's word of advice. King James only, not New King James, not NIV, not New King James, not RSV, not Good News for Bad Monkeys, not the new LGBT one, the HIV version. It does not, you know, they have transgender Bibles, all these kinds, a bunch of filth. Say, what is that? That's man wanting to be God and rewriting God's words to match what man wants to do. We're not supposed to rewrite it, we're supposed to reread it. We're supposed to live it. By the way, never been a major revival preached in any country of the world without that book right there. Never. Never. I don't care what our government says, we were founded on that book. Founded on it. Now listen to me very carefully here. We trust God by obeying that book. Did you know just not believing it but obeying it is the key? Did you know when I was growing up, my dad sitting back there, if my dad said, son, if you don't take the trash out, you're going to get a whooping. You know, I could believe him, but if I didn't do it, guess what? I got the whooping. But I believe that you'd do it, Dad. Yeah, and I'm going to prove to you I can do it too. Just because you believe something, the lack of obedience to it is the problem. Everybody doing all right? Did you know something? Well, I believe in God. Did you know that the Bible says the devil believes in God and trembles? Everybody knows there's a God. Everybody understands who God really is. It's not Muhammad. It's not Allah. It's not Big Belly Buddha. It's not Confucius. It's not man. It's not some statue. It's not some rock. It's not a donut that somebody opened up and saw the Virgin Mary in. Man left to himself is pretty silly, isn't he? Can I tell you something? It's Jehovah God. Now listen to me. That means you should be in church. You should be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church. You ought to obey God. You ought to obey the commands. We ought to go out and tell others about Him. Amen. By the way, we're supposed to build a church God's way, not man's way. Make a statement here. This is an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, practicing church. Notice there's no drum sets, no rock and roll music. Rock and roll music didn't come out to the 1950s. There's been music a lot longer than rock and roll. Everybody doing all right? I don't believe in this casual form of worship where I'm going to come out in a turtleneck sweater and sit on a stool and we're going to talk a while. Let me give you a little motivational talk. There were times my dad motivated me, but he didn't sit in a turtleneck sweater on a stool and say, "Let me motivate you." When there was wood to chop and wood to stack, he didn't sit there and say, "Let me try to motivate you." Oh, he motivated. Either get it done or you're not eating supper tonight. Now that was motivation, amen?
Yes, sir.
Say, he shouldn't have done that. Well, I learned how to work. Others haven't. Sometimes you need somebody to motivate you. And there was times I wasn't motivated enough. And he had a board about that long that he learned how to motivate us with. He called it a persuader, amen? It persuaded me to not go through that more than once in my life. I wasn't real bright, but I learned really, really, really fast. Especially with an older brother. Watch what happens to him and don't do that. There's stability and prosperity. You're able to withstand in difficult times and able to keep going when you have the Word of God. Can I tell you something? I read the last chapter, "We Win, We're Okay." Say, well, Christians face hard times too. Yeah, but we make it through. I've heard about Christians being martyred and killed. Yeah, but guess what? As soon as they took their last breath here, they woke up in heaven, not hell. And I'm done with this last point here. The Bible says don't trust your heart or your feelings or your motives. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I reject the idea that because somebody has a right motive that it's okay. Modern education is motive-based, not truth-based. New math. Well, if a student can show us 2 + 2 = 5, we'll accept the answer. Because they sincerely believe that it is, and they've tried real hard, so we'll give them credit for it because they tried so hard. Folks, if I've got 2 steaks and I have 2 pork chops over here, I don't have 5 pieces of meat. I have 4. You say, how do you know? Because I ate all 4 of them. Can I tell you something? We've believed into this motive thing so much. 99.9% of the riots in America in the last 3 years has come based on motive. Judgment before the fact. Everybody doing all right? Just because someone has a right motive doesn't mean it's right. I know a lot of people, listen to this statement here. They're in church today because they have the right motive, but they're going to the wrong church. If you're going to a church that doesn't preach the Bible, I don't care what your motive is, get out of it. I have no problem saying that. I'm not saying come to my church necessarily, because you're going to get the truth here. But may I say this, I don't care what the motive. Did you know there might be a young person here that didn't have a good motive for coming to church? We're going to have a treasure hunt in just a few minutes. You're bribing them to go to church. You offered them something. Well, dummy, that's what McDonald's does to you. It's what every business in the world does to you. That's where you work does, because it pays you a paycheck. What makes God, by the way, I don't care why they're here. I'm glad they're here. They got a chance to hear the gospel, get saved, and have their eternity changed. If it takes a trinket or a toy to get somebody to come to church, and they get saved and die and go to heaven for it, bless God. Society is obsessed with motive. Well, do what your heart tells you to do. And we wonder why we're doing what we're doing in America today. Go with your heart, it'll be okay. My Bible says your heart is desperately wicked. You know what you are by yourself. It's not that good. May I say this? Man wants to be his own God. That's why he says, follow your heart. Man wants to be God by saying, do what you want to do. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. Well, what are you going to win in hell? Just because something makes you feel good doesn't mean it's right. Churches all over the world today, they're jumping up and down, jiving to the music, and boy, they're feeling it. They're feeling it, so it must be right. Well, I've had feelings like that too. Sometimes it's because I was cold. Doesn't matter why the feeling. God didn't say going to heaven was a feeling. It's trusting a truth. Just because it tastes good doesn't mean you should eat it. Brother June and his wife brought breakfast for their Sunday school class, and he opened this up and said, preacher, look at this. I had to look at him and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, did it look good. He said, come on, preacher. I said, I will not make it through church preaching if I ate that. I'll have to lie down on the platform and take a nap. And when I do preach, I'll be belching in the microphone. Lord have mercy. He said, well, I'll save you a little if there's any left. Can't wait to get back to my office. Because it's going to have dessert first today. Can I tell you something? Just because it tastes good doesn't mean you should have it. Did you know alcohol's wrong? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Bible says, woe to him that put the bottle to his brother's lips, speaking of alcohol. Well, Jesus turned water to wine, shows how much of the Bible you don't know. As soon as the juice leaves the fruit, it's called wine. It says drink wine anew, which means fresh juice. It wasn't Mogan Dagavid. Right. Listen to me. Quit trusting man. Quit trusting yourself. We make pretty bad gods. Why don't we trust God and his word? Can I tell you something? We're the happy ones, not the angry ones. You're looking at a preacher who's pretty happy. I can't wait for Jesus to come back. Rejoice, your redemption draweth nigh. Man, I'm having fun. I just want to take everybody on the trip with me. And that's what it's all about. Quit trusting man, man's ways, man's thoughts, man's philosophies. Trust God and quit trusting your own heart. You say, well, I got a good motive. I'm glad you got a good motive, and I don't care if you got a bad motive. If you just do what God says, it'll all work out. I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please give everyone the respect they deserve by bowing your head and closing your eyes. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. I know that without a doubt. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. I won't do anything different to you than I just did with those that raised their hand. But who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? All right. If you've never been saved, in a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we do, the music will begin to play. And when we do, you come to this altar and we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon today, I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands. Maybe you as well need to come to this altar. Say, well, somebody might think I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Don't worry about it. It fits everybody. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion in a Baptist church, you can join our church. We'd love to have you.